We're studying the last days, end times, it could be called, eschatology. I call it this particular study, the last days. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to look today at three houses. Verse 17 of 1 Peter 4. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Judgment begins at the house of God. One might say, why does it begin with us? Let that be the bad guys. God has all eternity to deal with the wicked. When we talk about judgment, God's judgment is final. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at what happened at Pharaoh's army that was throwing the Hebrew male babies into the river. He got thrown into the river, this water. The flood, Noah's day. God spoke to Noah. Noah believed and acted accordingly. He built the ark. They were given years to repent, just like, man, the end time's coming. It's very close. We all know it is. Man's had plenty of time for repentance. It's an insult to God to reject his remedy for man's sins. It's basically like saying, I can't believe you, God, that this man dying on the cross can redeem me from my sin. That's an insult, a very gross insult to God. God knew all about it. He knows the end from the beginning. He determined the size of the ark and how many were converted. And none other than Noah and his family that built the ark. We're going to look today, as I said, at three houses. The Lord's house, which today we believe to be the church. There's Israel. Then there's another house we'll mention in a minute. I have in my notes scribbled down here, Luke chapter 17, verse 27, which tells about the time of Noah. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. It was business as usual, as we call it. Life goes on. 9/11, it hit. Nobody was expecting it. Noah entered into the ark. He was in there 7 days before the flood, type of the Great Tribulation. That's God's judgment. And we perhaps remember or recall a week or two back, self-judgment. We should always practice it before we held the Lord's Supper. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened to the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. That's why, or another reason why judgment begins at the house of the Lord. The world, he'll pour out his wrath upon the sinner soon enough. First house is Israel. In the Gospel of Matthew, the 23rd chapter, Matthew chapter 23, and you could ask yourselves, which of these would you want to be partaker of? The house of Israel that's been chastened many times, and they're going to be righteous. They can do it hard, they can do it easy. They've taken the hard road. Verse 37 of Matthew 23, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent to thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. That's a bad judgment. I mean, it's a right judgment, but it's a bad one to be on the receiving end of. Verse 39, For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. They'll be happy to have the Lord with them. And I mean, look at what they've had. They've borne a reproach of the heathen. We looked at that, I believe, last week. Some 2,000 years. Paid double for her sins, 2,000. 1,000 being the millennium. It's, it all fits hand in hand. Verse 1 of chapter 24, And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. He abandoned the house. They made it a den of thieves. And his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. He goes on and talks about wars and rumors of wars, nation rising against nation. Christ, as I said, abandoned the temple. Those huge stones being thrown down. What he had one time called his father's house, he's now calling their house. Seeing that they lived in an age when they had to do everything but brute strength, they didn't have the machines we have today for building. How did those stones get thrown down? He said they would, they did. Simple as that. The Wailing Wall, you've heard of me make mention of it sometime here recently, sometime back. Was that part of the temple? It's still standing. That's the Roman garrison. That was not the temple. Too big for it's, that area now houses what's called the Dome of the Rock. It's a pretty good size area. In the book of Acts, I think I made mention of this, when Paul was taken down, he was held by the authorities, then in the Acts chapter 23 and verse 20, when they took him, they notice what direction it says they I think is right. He called it verse 23 of chapter 23, Acts 23 and 20, and he said, The Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldest bring down Paul tomorrow unto the council. Down from where? Down from the Roman garrison to where? Where was the place that the Jews met? The temple? That was over in the book of Psalms in the 48th chapter. It talks about beautiful for situation, the sides of the north. What Lucifer wanted to exalt. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Now, we're talking about three houses, and there's also three cities. Abraham sought for a city whose builder and maker was God. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. What I'm trying to point out is that Wailing Wall there is part of the Roman garrison. It's the only thing that makes sense. That's Israel in their house. Hosea spoke about it It'd be many days without a king, without a sacrifice. It's in Hosea chapter 3. It's been 2,000 years. It's a long time. That house has indeed been left desolate, hasn't it? Can't disagree with what Christ said. It's in Hosea chapter 3. Hosea 3, verse 4 and 5. I think we covered this last week, come to think of it. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, without a teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return. We looked at that last week. There's also the house of the church, the Lord's church. Now, there's many so-called. We read in the book of Ephesians that Christ died, loved the church, and gave his life for it. The book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 19. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God. Now, that's definitely the house of God. Say what you want to. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Called mystery. Over in chapter 5, verse, actually it's in verse 25, tells us how Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. In verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. There's other things said about it. The Lamb's wife. Over in the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter, the 9th verse. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Yeah, builder and maker, this house is God. Preparing a place for us, Christ tells us in John 14. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like unto a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had twelve gates, and the 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the tribes, 12 tribes of the children of Israel. It's a huge city, lies four square. Used a reed to measure it. The walls. Verse 17, and he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of man, that is an angel. This thing is about 1,500 square miles. It's huge. The city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Gold is trodden underfoot. Yeah, this is. We can't even imagine the glory and splendor of this city. Well, that's a brief view of two cities. At the rapture, what will commence will be the judgment seat of Christ. More on that in a minute. God will be pouring out his wrath upon the world. Time known as Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Revelation 17 tells us of another house, another city. We all know it as the harlot at Rome. You see, we have a lot of preachers that are sound, and not a lot, but there's preachers that are sound that'll preach against the harlot. A lot of the ones, they get so big, they're afraid to walk on that ground. They don't want to make the harlot too mad, because all these things we seen going on today, I believe Mama Rome's behind. And Rome has a lot of daughters. That's sad. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying to me, come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. If you look at any time the Pope goes someplace, they always have a big, whatever you want to call it, charade. All the dignitaries and the leaders come howdy with the Pope. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, having full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. How come this wasn't a man? The bride of the Antichrist. He has a bride too. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of the harlots and the abominations of the earth. And I saw that woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Why would he be wondering? Because everybody in the world thinks this is a holy, righteous church. And it's far from it. The angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carrieth her, and hath seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. We read of Judas went to his own place, he's called the son of perdition. And they that dwelt on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. It's a system. And here is the man which hath wisdom. The seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And Rome is a well-known fact, sits on seven mountains, seven hills. And the beast that was and is not, and he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. And just incidentally here, the president of this country attended a summit. 10 nations were involved. Was it that what it's speaking about here? It's a forerunner of it, I believe. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength to the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. It's indeed a world system. It sits on seven hills. It is guilty of all these things as charged. The ten horns which thou sawest upon the beasts, these shall hate the whore. Now, they only deal with it out of political clout, I guess you would say. They want the popularity. And we all believe that the president we got with the help of this city here. None of us here probably believe he was indeed elected, as said to have been. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh. Her wealth is untold. And I'm sure this is where they find it. And burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast. It sounds like exactly what's happened to our country. You say, well, Biden's not affiliated with Rome. He's a good Catholic son, according to them. He's doing as he's told to do. Until the words of God shall be fulfilled, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth, Mama Rome. Mother of the heart, has many daughters. We see all the things that go on in the world. Everybody models herself after the Catholic Church. The bride of Christ is said to be a chaste virgin in 2 Corinthians 11, but this woman is a harlot. She's for sale. Committed fornication with the inhabitants of the earth. What do we read in Proverbs about the wise woman? And the wise woman buildeth her house. Over, I believe it's in chapter 14 of Proverbs. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. This system here is all about deals, all about ruling with... I mean, where does mafia come from? All the mafia will tell you that they're good Catholics. Nothing godly about this institution. Oh, it has a godly front. Looks at all pious. In Proverbs chapter 7, verse 9, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black of the dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with, he's talking about a young man, with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. She's out drumming up business. And now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait in at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face saith unto them, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. She's acting righteous. This woman's a harlot. The worst kind. We go on, but we get the message. As said, Rome, Italy, sits upon seven mountains. Some years back, when the Pope came to America, there's a thing, it was on TV, showed him at the Superdome down in New Orleans. Flashing on the scoreboard, Bud Light presents the Pope. Now think about that, Bud Light, that's good. That's wickedness is what that is. If you look at the way many countries turn out, it start off well and end ill. One thing is always common. They always dig into the Catholic Church. Communism. Wherever nations seem to founder, the Catholics always seem to end up there. They want world dominance. They want to be the one and only church. They want to have power. They want to run the world. That's what it really boils down to. Characteristics of the bride of Christ are chosen, called and faithful. We've done read that. The Antichrist is bride, as we've already read also. Back to Revelation 17. The blood of the martyrs was there. As I also made mention, she has many daughters. Many will tell you they're not a Catholic, but oftentimes act like it. 50 million Anabaptists slaughtered during the devil's millennium, the dark ages. Revelation 17 and 6. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs and of Jesus, and I saw her and wondered with great admiration. As said, it's a counterfeiter. Where there's an Isaac, there's an Ishmael. This woman is called Mystery Babylon. Land of Shinar, that's where the first attempt at the one world government failed. But they'll try it again and they will succeed to some extent for a while. There was what was called the Mystical Brotherhood, called by some the Babylonian cult. Now, I believe over in the book of, still staying in the book of Revelation in the second chapter, the 12th and 13th verse. This is to the church of Pergamos. And to the angel of the church at Pergamos, pergamy is also a crime. It's selling of church office. Sounds like it fits. Write these things, saith he which hath a sharp sword in with two edges. I know thy works, where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. That Babylonian cult made its way to Rome. Now, the book of Romans was written to the church of Rome, but we know what happened. They went into apostasy, and it's become the harlot, as we've been reading about. Goes back to that Tower of Babel, the mystical brotherhood, the Babylonian cult, over which was placed a high priest whose word was law. This system claimed to possess the highest wisdom and divine secrets. Kind of sounds eerie, like the Masonic lodges in some ways. Sounds like the Catholic Church in our day. Babylon, throughout most of history, has been a kingdom of the wicked. When did it move to Rome? First moved to Pergamos. We read whose seat was there. Revelation 18 is the topic of the city of Babylon and its destruction. That's commercial Babylon. This is religious Babylon. We read that these kings will hate the harlot. The reason why? Well, the man of sin is going to want all to worship for himself. If we look at all the those associated with it, it's a questionable bunch, to say the least. The Roman Catholic Church has perverted the truth as they've gone into apostasy. They added popery, purgatory. Christ told them that they were to be the least. They were to be servants. The Pope wants to be served. But most likely Kennedy's assassination, the mafia, the scams going on in our present government. All brought to you by this harlot that setteth upon many waters. After the rapture, the church age ceases. It'll be over. The reign of grace, as we now know it, will be over. Our sins, the members of the church, they were judged at Calvary. It's where the believer's sins were judged. The judgment seat of Christ commences. Will we be lost? No. Salvation cannot be lost. God's unchangeable. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 11, for another foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. It's going to be exact and precise, concise, anything you want to call it. That's good. It will be that. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. God is a consuming fire. Fire is involved in the judgment of the harlot also. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Salvation can't be lost. God don't make a bad choice. Oh, he didn't choose us because he saw we'd be righteous. He chose to make us righteous. Over in chapter 5, verse 12, same book of 1 Corinthians. For what have I to do to judge them that are without? There are not that many people who are a member of the Lord's church. Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judgeth. We read about that in Revelation 20. I wouldn't want to be part of that in Revelation 20. Are we believers? Yes, we're believers. God grants us repentance. Chapter 6 and verse 2, the same book of 1 Corinthians. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world, and if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? God's, as I said, he's going to make us righteous. Over in Revelation again, Revelation 19, verse 8. Well, let's go to verse 7. Revelation 19 and 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Now, we read about rewards for our works, or loss thereof. This is the bride. She hath made herself ready. Now, she was put there positionally by Christ, but as far as there's going to be many guests at the marriage feast of the Son of Promise. But there's going to be one bride. We believe it to be a Baptist bride. His wife had made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. She's going to be righteous, made righteous. This thing goes on in heaven, while what's going on earth, you read about it in the rest of this book of Revelation. The plagues, a time of unparalleled suffering. At the rapture, there's none left to preach the gospel but the two witnesses. Who will preach to the 144,000? They'll be converted. As to Israel, God's not done with them yet either. Over in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 3, Jeremiah 3, verse 12. Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, Return thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause my anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, where you have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Return, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. It's a bride of Jehovah. And I will take of you one of a city and two of a family, and will bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when you be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done any more. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it. Christ will be there. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their own heart. That's end of what will become of Israel. Over in the book of Ezekiel, it also covers it quite a bit. The last seven or eight chapters deal with the millennial temple of Christ, which is pretty vast. It's like a 60 square mile area. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you." Chapter 37, verse 15 through 28, which we won't read all of it. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Moreover, thou, son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions, and take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, Wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel his fellows, and will put them with him, even the stick of Judah, and will make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. And the sticks whereupon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land of the mountains of Israel, upon the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be to them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all." And of course, verse 24, "And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them." This is what's the end of Israel is going to be, just what his intentions have been all along. Jehovah is their husband. What's the end of the bride of the Antichrist? We read there, fire. Their final state and condition is fire. Revelation 17, 16, "They shall burn her with fire." And of course, we know from Revelation chapter 20, the lost we cast into the lake of fire. Which one would you want to be a member of? I take the Lord's church. It has promise, a lot of promise to it. That's all we have time for today. Take up there in the next lesson.